Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm getting more modest than is to be expected with my personality, so to say, being in this audience. And last night during the dinner, the minister was mentioning that one member of Parliament of Hungary asked him the question in Parliament yesterday morning, does this government believe in miracles? And I thought, I take that line. And I'm here to be aware that there are miracles. And that was just a great start. It is really a pleasure to welcome you to this conference. It's hosted by the European Commission together with the presidency of the Hungarian government. Today, we often take for ICT for granted. It merges into the background fabric of everyday lives. And that, if you don't mind, is every time my question after such a brilliant presentation, how can I explain that to the European citizen? For at the end of the day, when we are funding, it is with taxpayers' money. So it makes sense to connect all that knowledge and that great experience of all of you to the European citizen, that they are getting that enthusiastic as anyhow I myself am. So without our self-imposed limits, ICT could do much more. And so this conference is about what ICT could do if we wanted to. And it's about how science can go beyond fiction when it gets the right support. And from nanotechnology to global systems, from silicon chips to artificial brains, this exhibition and the projects behind it show the amazing possibilities of future and emerging technologies, or FET in short. And I sincerely hope these FET will continue to inspire you long after this event. But of course, there is more to this than technological optimism. Across the European institutions, we are constantly working to support economy recovery, no doubt about that. Not just any recovery, but the most sustainable one possible. And this points us to the reality that even in times of austerity, investments into new opportunities, like investments in scientific research, should be maintained and reinforced if we want to retain our living standards and global competitiveness. And there is much room for improvement. Even after great effort to turn the situation around, Europe still invests only half as much as the US into ICT research. That is a fact. And the EU 2020 strategy's target of increasing research investments to 3% of GDP is a good reminder and call to action to really tackle the problem and close the gap. And at most basic level, it means recognizing that we need to do more than write checks for greater amounts. But don't misunderstand and don't underestimate what is going around Europe at this moment, when every government of every member state is faced with big financial challenges, so to say, and slimming off the budgets. And what is at stake is that we keep them awake, that anyhow investment in research is investment in the reality of the European position on the globe, and that it is investing in the generation that is looking at us, our next generation, so to say. At the most basic level, it means recognizing that we need to do more than write the checks. We must also cooperate better so that we are more effective with the money that is available. And that is why the digital agenda is holistic and comprehensive. We are saying from year one onwards, from the Commission to universities to individual researchers, that we need new ways of working. And alongside that, we need to encourage all the public and private stakeholders to increase their investments. To set the example through the digital agenda, I'm aiming to double annual public investments into ICT research in Europe to 11 billion euros. Research always starts and with an idea about how to do something new. But where do those ideas come from? Maybe Isaac Newton really did discover gravity because of a falling apple. For most of us, and I don't dare to compare my ideas to yours, no doubt about that, our ideas spring from discussions with others, especially when two people with different expertise and a common interest come together. For instance, an engineer and a physicist, and a physicist and a neuroscientist. FAT strongly encourages such interactions from photonics to advanced robotics. This sort of cross-fertilizing is how we can stop the ICT sector or ICT researchers erecting barriers around themselves. We have to stay as open and imaginative as possible. And in fact, that is the goal behind this multidisciplinary conference. How can Europe meet citizens' expectations of a better quality of life over an extended lifetime? How can we address climate change or face global issues? And to get the best of it, we need to join forces as Europeans. We do best when we work together to solve common problems. Different cultures, specialisms, context gives us a great backdrop to achieve that sort of cross-fertilizations I mentioned before. But only if we work together. The FET flagships are the latest example of the Commission working to encourage and support that approach. And in particular, they aim to improve today's insufficient transfer of research efforts to technological solutions and industrial applications. The ripple effects will be felt along the chain that leads from science to technology to education and society. And I invite you to join me later this morning for the launch of 6 FET flagships preparatory actions that have been selected. It is impressive. They now have 1 year to build up their proposal for ambitious, fully fledged, long-term research endeavors. And those FET flagships complement the FET Proactive Scheme, which helps to give promising ideas and new domains critical mass so they can really undertake long-term foundational and transformative research. It's useful, enhanced by networked initiatives in the European research area, such as the first joint funding call in quantum technologies. FET has proven itself over 20 years now. Bottom-up schemes designed for nurturing a large set of promising new ideas, such as the FET Open Scheme, are welcomed by the scientific community and are essential for keeping Europe at the leading edge of science and technology developments. The FET Open Scheme is a good model for a light and fast approach to public research funding of the sort we increasingly need for all research areas, not just the fast-moving world of ICT, all. And I also would like to point you to the 2 new FET initiatives. The first one pays particular attention to young researchers. Young researchers have an essential role to play in the 160 ongoing FET research projects, making FET an incubator of future scientific talents. And the young researchers of today are a part of the first generation of digital natives that I'm very keen to associate more closely to the digital agenda. And I rely, ladies and gentlemen, on their and on your creativity and dynamism to make every European digital. The new FAT Young Explorer Initiative, launched earlier this year, is a modest but very concrete action in that context. It offers for the first time the possibility for small teams of young researchers across Europe to set up their own collaborative FAT research project. Challenging, that initiative will further help our best young talent to get going, pursue their own ideas, and explore new routes, possibly leaving more traditional approaches aside. And I also see this as a concrete contribution to a culture of healthy risk-taking, something that Europe is traditionally not so good in. And today marks the launch of the FAT House. The FAT House, isn't it fascinating? A web application to attract school leavers to a career in ICT research. Also women, by the way, so also the girls. It features mentoring from young European PhD students, and you will be able to test it during the exhibition. The second initiative, recently launched by FAT, is targeting high-tech research-intensive small and medium-sized enterprises. Those knowledge-intensive SMEs are few, but hold a large innovation potential and deserve, in my opinion, special attention. They have played a key role in the US in the last 30 years, and some of them have become today's leading global ICT players. They nearby all started in the garage or in the bedroom, so to say. So let's give them attention, the SMEs. And some of them are still highly research intensive, plus being also market driven and customer centric. European research can produce breakthrough technologies, but it often fails to transform them into global success stories. And this initiative obviously will not solve the European paradox on its own, no doubt, but it is designed to give an extra boost to the special breed of SMEs by targeting them directly with a call for research project proposals. Dear friends, FAT is recognized as one of the crown jewels of the European research program. And you should all be proud of that. I'm anyhow very, very proud. But remember that this is also putting a duty on you and on me to keep it shining. To succeed, we need both, you and I, to preserve the essence of what FAT is and never, never lose the courage to innovate. More than ever, Europe needs to invest in its digital future and push science beyond fiction. And the future is now. Let us help to pave the way for a new century of growth and prosperity for all of us. And I count on your support to do so. And you can also count on my support. I wish you a very successful conference.
Thank you very, very much, Commissioner Kroes. Our next speaker to welcome us on behalf of the Hungarian government is Professor Zoltán Csefalvé, who is currently Minister of State for Economic Strategy and Parliamentary Affairs in the Ministry for National Economy, following a glittering career both in academia as an economic geographer and in government. He also chairs Europe's Competitiveness Council under the Hungarian EU presidency. Professor Csefalvé.
Solve all the technical problems. Thank you very much. Dear Commissioner Kroes, Dear President Palinkas, let me just congratulate yesterday happenings that you have been re-elected to the President of the Hungarian Academy of Science. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to welcome you to the Hungarian capital, Budapest, and to the second Future and Emerging Technologies Conference and Exhibition. I am delighted to welcome you because this conference addresses in its title expressly the word future, although it goes back to the very best competitive advantages of Europe. Namely, it places the emphasis on the ability of Europe to explore new ways and the ability to strike a fine balance between competition and cooperation. This conference traces back to those competitive advantages that made Europe successful over the past centuries, but have been put aside during the last decade. Today, Europe is a sleeping giant. Europe has been asleep, and debt has been the sleeping pill. Or put it in a less eloquent way, credit was too easy, and people became lazy. People and governments believed that all problems could be solved with a credit card or public debt, and hence incentive to take risks, to be creative and to innovative were lost. So FET can here make a difference. Let me recall that when the Human Genome Project was proposed in the US in 1985, it was greeted as absurd, dangerous, and impossible. Yet 20 years on, the human genome had been fully mapped, and today medical research and biotechnology take it for granted. The conference and exhibition today, Future and Emerging Technologies, is a showcase for scientific research and innovation, which by some observer can be labeled too as absurd, dangerous, and impossible. But this is the eminent role of FET to source frontier, high risk, and long-term research, research which is visionary, challenging, and will bring about radical transformation. Innovation and risk-taking is, however, not enough if we cannot strike the right balance between competition and cooperation, or to use an American term here that put these two words together, we should create an environment for co-opetition. Research has always benefited from the healthy tension between cooperation and competition. What we need here to ensure the appropriate time frame within which competition can flourish. Otherwise, competition will kill the cooperation, or cooperation will abolish the competition. Having been an academic in my former career, I know all too well that there is a huge pressure on academics to get their work published. Publish or perish. It is the ultimate rule. To some extent, this maxim constitutes a similar time pressure as the four-year legislative period for a government. Hence, in research, competition must also be tempered with long-term thinking and more collaborative approaches. The FET and the six flagship projects with their timeline over the next 10 years are good examples of that approach. The Hungarian presidency is not only determined to promote research, but we pursue the above-mentioned principles, encouraging risk-taking and innovation and supporting co-opetition in the everyday business of the presidency. Currently, I have the honor to chair the Competitiveness Council that comprises internal market, industry and research issues. And the huge challenge of this temporary job is even to strike the right balance between cooperation and competition, to promote Europe's competitiveness and maintain the competition among the European countries at the same time. Hence, I am glad to tell you that in March, the Competitiveness Council under the Hungarian presidency gave the green light for the creation of the eagerly long-awaited unitary patent system. The EU-wide patent would not only be cheaper and simpler, but it would abolish the present fragmented market on which inventors have to deal with 27 different legal systems, and hence it would induce further investment into R&D. It enhances the competitiveness of Europe as a whole on global stage, but it maintains the competition among researcher institutions and countries. These principles, innovation and co-opetition, are also at the heart of the economic policy in Hungary. In order to tackle the fiscal imbalances we inherited from the previous government, last year we took some unusual, or some observer called it unorthodox, economic policy measures. Now these measures paid off and gave us the time needed to carry out major reforms such as fiscal, tax, pension and labour market reforms. With these reforms, we will be not only able to consolidate the budget and put the country on a path of decreasing debt, but also will create, according to our aim, the most competitive business environment in Eastern and Central Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, as European governments are making inroads into tackling debt and consolidating budget deficit, investments in research is critical to putting Europe back on track and boosting economic growth. I am deeply convinced that the FET, with its strengths, such as risk-taking, innovation and competition, can deliver a significant contribution to the recovery. With these words, I wish to you a very fruitful conference, and I was just amazed by this robotic presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much, Minister Cefalve. Next, to welcome us on behalf of the Hungarian scientific community is József Pálinkás, President of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. He is one of Europe's leading atomic physicists, and he too has served in government. And he's currently Professor of Physics at the University of Debrecen. Professor Pálinkás, please.
Commissioner Kroes, Minister Cefalve, ladies and gentlemen, and dear colleagues. Well, it's a pleasure to be in such a magnificent meeting. When I came in this hall and I saw some of these posters and some of the robots, and I looked at the program of the conference, I realized that when we are in conferences on a certain topic in physics, atomic physics, or nuclear physics, or brain research, we are just concentrating on a very narrow field, and when you organize a conference like this, then I feel that things are open up, and those fields which are seem to be a little far away from each other can meet in an unusual way. And I think that the FET conference, the Future Emerging Technologies, the real strength is the cooperation of the different fields of science and promoting programs which really serve the society. Of course, science and especially discovery research has its own logic. When scientists are working in a laboratory, then there is certain logic, the logic of science, which brings things together forward. And of course, during the research you have ideas, and It's very hard to tell that what is the point when a real discovery comes in science, in discovery research. But when this real breakthrough comes, that of course that will change the whole field. But very similarly, when different fields, different disciplines, and especially people with somewhat different mindset come together, then the real breakthroughs can come in technology. And Europe and the world needs these technological breakthroughs. The challenges ahead of us cannot be tackled any other way, just with the new developments of the technology. Nowadays it's fascinating what we can produce in brain science, in synthetic biology. It's fascinating what we can do in computational science in this so-called digital age, and in this digital agenda, I hope will bring Europe and European countries really at the edge of the technology and make us competitive and cooperative, and also makes it very clear that of course technology is not just for itself. The technology is for make our life better, make our life safer, and since the resources, the natural resources, our planet Earth, are finite, we have to use these new technologies, and especially creating energy and new ways of using that energy, which is coming free of charge here from the sun, but it's not free of charge. How we can transform that energy into that type of energies which we can directly use, namely electric energy, but we practically don't have any other means just to work towards that goal, that we can maintain our industry and maintain our life. We need to produce energy for that, and we have to produce energy for that, at the same time sustain the biological ecosystem of the planet Earth, and these two things quite a challenge. And research in energy, and of course until we reach the point when we can use this free of charge energy from the sun in a more efficient way, we certainly need our old energy production systems, including nuclear energy, and research in that is also a very important thing to pursue. And it's a very important thing to pursue not only the fission reactors, but the fusion reactors. And I hope that all those efforts which we are doing in Europe in producing new energy and producing new ways to use the energy, that technology and science which are going on in laboratories will be able to help us in that course. But of course, to produce scientific results in the 21st century, it's not the same thing anymore as it used to be 100 or more years ago. Now, this is a concentrated effort of humankind, and the flagship programs are the good examples of that concentrated effort of the European community to make scientific breakthroughs and to change or transform these scientific breakthroughs to innovative products, and through these innovative products make our life better and safer. And I hope that, and I'm quite sure, having this impressive conference, that this Future and Emerging Technology Conference in Budapest will contribute to this common effort. And I wish you a very successful conference, and I hope that the flagship programs of which will be shown, and those flagship programs which will be chosen, I hope that will really contribute to this European competitiveness, and at the same time will bring European researchers closer together and make Europe really a research area. Thank you very much for your attention.